Hey, it's good to see you tonight. All right. We've been traveling, and in fact, I was in Baltimore and traveled from Baltimore here. So it's been like 5 out of the last 6 weeks I've been away from home. And so there's a lot of distance and traveling distance and stuff. So tell you a little bit about what's going on. We have 3 students at the Sunshine School of Evangelism. I'm writing some more books, finishing up the book of Ephesians. The radio broadcast is now on 82 stations, so good things are happening there. I had a blessing where I've been writing in 2 different newspapers. I got a byline in 2 newspapers, so every week I have a column in those newspapers. So a lot of blessings are going on there. It's good to be here with you guys and Scott and his family. And man, I'm telling you, when I was here last, Mary was 10 years old, and Bobby, mercy sakes, I'm telling you, it's wild. I'd like for you to be turning to Matthew, the 28th chapter tonight. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we'll be starting in the first verse. The Bible says, now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you unto Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they left the tomb quickly for fear and great joy and ran to report to the disciples. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we just thank you for your love and your care and the joy and the peace that we have in your dear Son. Father, as we continue in our message tonight, we just pray for open ears and open minds toward the truth of the gospel of Christ. That, Father, we'll see the need for missions and the need for those around the world that we can touch. Father, we may not be able to go there personally, but we can be a part of a great ministry, a great ingathering of people who have obeyed the gospel of your dear Son. Father, help this church here, Crown Hill. Father, bless it, that they might realize the great need for missions. Help me as I continue in this Faith Promise rally to bring that forth in the messages that I present here. Father, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you read this at this time of year, somebody say, what's the matter with you? Are you crazy? This is a Resurrection Day message. Down as the world calls Easter. Why are you reading a message like that? I mean, after all, isn't this talking about the resurrection? Well, of course it's talking about the resurrection. You must be out of your head, preacher. What's the matter with you? Well, in this text, there are 4 Greek words, the Greek verbs that are commands. Commands not only to these women, but when I look at that, I see commands to each one of us. We can take these 4 imperatives here. These are commands. This is not suggestions. This is not, I hope you do it, maybe someday you'll do it, or whatever. He gives 4 commands here, and that's what we're going to be looking at in this text. And I believe it's the same thing for each and every one of us as we look at this text here and see these four commands, and we're going to go into each and every one of them. Remember, they come to the tomb, and the angels come there, and in verse 6, he said, "He's not here, for he's risen, just as he said, come." That's the first imperative, come. How much of God has invited people? Our God has condescended every time. He came down the garden and he told Adam, come into the garden. Come. How about Noah and the ark? Preached all those years, and what was the message? Come. Come into the ark. Come. And what about when the promised land, when he took them out of Egypt, come into the promised land, yet they wouldn't come. And then Jesus comes, and he's still crying, come. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Lean on me and learn of me. That's what he's calling us today, come. I had a book in the, when I was going to KCC. It was about 600 some pages, and it, we were supposed to do a report on it, and as I read that book, it was the most boastless book I ever read. And yet we were supposed to tell something great about it, you know, as we got up there. And of course it was in alphabetical order they took the people, and most of the guys got up there, and they'd get up there in front of the professor and say, this is the most exciting book I ever read, it touched my life, it really, you know, trying to get points to the professor. And the guys would say, oh, this thing is really fulfilling my life and everything. And then it was my turn to get up there. And I said, this is the worst book I ever read. It's a piece of garbage. And the professor got up and he said, we only have one honest guy in this whole class. He said, I thought it was garbage too. But there was one thing in that book, and it was, I'm telling you, it was hard to wade through, and I'm trying to wade through to find something good about it. And I think it was 686 pages. I can remember that because I hated the thing. But in the last two pages, it said this. It said, God has always come down to man. Can you imagine that? Our Heavenly Father who made the sun, the moon, the stars? Who made us? We didn't run to Him. He came after us. That's what kills me about people saying, I found Jesus. Well, was He missing? That's what I want to know. They said, I found Jesus. Where was He missing or whatever? No, Jesus was always looking for you. He's always been trying to call you to Him. He said, He condescends, and He did. He always lowered Himself. Jesus came down here, what? Lower than angels. He emptied Himself of Himself and become as man so that we might realize who He is. And that's why we can say when we go to Him in prayer, guess what? He understands. Because He's suffered just like we have. He's had pain and He's had sorrow and He knows what's going on. That's why we're not talking to somebody that knows nothing or anything about our lives. He knows everything about our lives. And so when we have sin and temptation, He had the devil come upon Him. And the devil gave Him what? Everything He had. Usually the devil don't have to give us everything he has just to get us to mess up, does he? But Jesus suffered all things, and yet He was without sin. And He's coming back again. At the end, He's still coming back to get us. Why do we love Him? 1 John 4:19 says we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Come. Come. And He's still calling today. Now we live here. But what about those people that live in Africa and Brazil and all around the world? We have all these missionaries out there doing things, preachers trying to do the thing. How are they going to get there and call them to come? See, we are the right arm of God. We're the messengers ourselves. We're the saints. We're the children of God. And we're to call people to what? Come. The same message that Christ gave. Come unto me. And so we ought to know more than anybody else the love and mercy and the grace of our Savior. Come. The second one, he says, see the place. So you have come, and then he says, see. Now here, the see is just not like just, well, casual look. You know, we look down the street, oh, there's a neighbor. He's saying, come here and really look, get a look. I want you to know that he's not here anymore. Come and see. It's like getting a microscope and getting down there and really seeing what's going on, or a telescope and looking at the moon. We can look at the moon, but you get one of those giant telescopes and man, you can really see the moon. And that's what he wanted them to do. Come and really see. And we can never be what God wants us to be unless we really see Jesus for who He is. King of kings, Lord of lords. The one who holds the world in His hand. The one that we owe everything to. There's nothing in this building that hasn't come from the Lord. He said He created all things, no matter what we have, what we own, what air we breathe is still His. We need to see that and see how great our God is. See Him for who He really is. It's just some far off somebody. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our friend. We sing that song, "What a friend I have in Jesus." And yet, do we really believe it? Do we really live like He's our friend? He calls us to see. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and keep your finger there because we're going to go right back. James chapter 1. Great verse of Scripture here. And James, the brother of Jesus, as he pens these words through the leading of the Holy Spirit, is a blessing to each and every one of us. I'm using Scott's Bible tonight, so because I have the King James Version, and I just use the New American Standard, which I don't hardly ever use. So it'll take me a while to get there. There we go. Look in verse 22. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he had looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But one who looks intently into the perfect law of liberty and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Look into the perfect law of liberty. We call people to come, but what do we call them to come to? Do we say, come and hear my opinion? Come and hear how I feel about things? We call them to come and look in the perfect law of liberty. Come and look into the book and see what the Bible says. It blows my mind how many people say, well, I think it's in there somewhere. I heard the preacher say it one time. When we call people to come, we need to show them the real Jesus. And you show them through the Word of God, the perfect law of liberty. And then not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that Word. You'll be blessed. Come and see. Now remember what I said that see was?
look intently. How many people really study the Word of God? Really see it for what it is?
I like in Matthew where Jesus said, "Well, you have heard it said, but I say unto you." I do that with my students when we go through the book of Matthew. I say, what's that talking about? And they really, I don't know. Well, they heard it, yeah. What's that tell us? Well, they heard it, they'll say. I say, yeah, but what's that tell us? And then one will put up his hand, they heard it, Jim. Yeah. You know what they didn't do? They didn't study it. He said, you heard it said. They've heard it from someone else. They never looked at it themselves. Listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to look at it yourself and see what the Word of God truly says. In the same way, when we are calling somebody to come, we need to show them what it truly says. Come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see what He's done. When I was over in Russia and preaching on the... I was in Siberia and I stood up on a park bench and had our interpreter named Yuri, and he didn't want to go. And we always said, don't worry, we got Yuri. And stood up on that park bench, he said, we will go to Stockmine. We will be arrested. Well, we just have to be then. It's just the way it is. Just start interpreting. And the woman came, it was an English professor at the university, and we went to her house, and what did we do? We showed them the Word of God. And now there's a church there, about 250. Why? Because of one woman who came from that one preaching session out in the park. Come, see. Now look what else it says here. He said in verse 6, He's not here, for He has risen just as He said. Come see the place where He was lying. Go is the third one. Go. He didn't want to stay around a tomb. Oh, it's good to be around the tomb. We see Jesus is not here. Isn't it nice that you're here? No, we're going to go. When you come into the filling station, this is the filling station. You get filled up. But you're to go. What if people say, well, I'm not being filled? Well, go to the filling station. And the attendant will fill you. The Word of God will fill you. But when you get your car full at the gas station, you don't sit there and say, boy, it feels good to have my car full. No, you pull out of the gas station. And that's what we're to do here. We're to pull out of the gas station. And yeah, we're full. Then we're going to lose it during the week. That's why midweek is here. So we can get back in and get topped off again. Go. He didn't want you to sit here in the pews until the cobwebs grow from the ceiling to the floor. He calls us to go. Go. I like preachers. Preachers wax eloquent, I say. Usually when they preach Matthew chapter 28, those last verses where he says, go into all the world and make disciples, you know. I mean, they get that. I like the way they do that, man. Go into all the world and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, I'll be with you always until the end. They like that go, go, go. You know what the problem is? Most people aren't going. They're soaking it in. They're getting all the good stuff and they ain't giving it to nobody else. But the problem is not only that. The problem is most of the preachers aren't going. They just like to say it. They just like to get behind the pulpit and wax eloquent, go into all the world. Yeah. But they aren't going. Where to go? When we get out of here, where to go? Well, preacher, who am I going to go to? Well, how about the people you work with? That'd be good, wouldn't it? How about people if you go to school with? How about the people that live around you? How about your family? We have so many ways to go, and yet we do not go.
we're commanded to go. This is not a suggestion. The come, the see, the go are all commands here. They're in the imperative. Go. And then the last one there. Verse 7, go quickly and tell. You know, what good does it do to go and you don't tell anybody? I won't tell you how many times I've been on revivals and I've went with preachers and we went to a house and you know what they talk about? We've got air conditioning. Mm-hmm. We got padded pews. Hallelujah, find the glory. Hallelujah, amen. We have a youth group. We have a choir. We have a fully staffed nursery. What happened to Jesus? Well, why suddenly is Jesus not enough? What happened to our Lord and Savior, the one that died upon the cross of Calvary? You know that guy died on the cross of Calvary. You know him. For some reason, he isn't in the picture. We got 8,000 people coming to our church. What happened to Jesus? We got a 15-piece brass band. He didn't come down. We rocked the place, man. Where's Jesus? We got a family life center with 4 basketball hoops in it. Y'all come on down. We play a little one-on-one after services. Now, none of that stuff is wrong. But if Jesus isn't number one, it's definitely wrong. Come, see, go, tell. Now you say, might say tonight, say, what's that got to do with the faith promise? Well, a lot of people are never going to be called to come and see without what you're doing. There are people, I've been all over the world, and there's some miserable ministries, and there's some great ones. And you need to back the great ones. I've been to some ministries where that guy is not doing anything, is not ever going to do anything, and he's laying on it, and getting money from America to do nothing. You find out who you're supporting, and then you support the people who are doing something. I was over in London, England, preaching, and we went there for 3 weeks, and it was the worst. I wasted the Lord's money in that situation because of the guy I went over there with. I had sent Bible studies over there 6 months before that, or people had completed after a year, and I sent the result, and he was supposed to take the diplomas to the people. 2 months later, this 6 months before I'm going. I sent him 6 months. 2 months later, I call him. I can't find him. I lost him. Okay? I made him up again. That can happen to anybody, I guess. I sent him again. 2 months later, call him. He hadn't done anything. 2 months later, I got there, and I couldn't even get him to do it when I was there. You got to find people that are going to call people to come, call them to see, and then teach them, and immerse them into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, receive, get the Holy Spirit, so they can go and tell somebody else. That's what it's all about. Christianity is just one beggar to another telling another beggar where to get food. We're all beggars. Nobody marches up to the cross of Calvary. Nobody marches up to the cross of Calvary and says, "You owe me, Lord. Give me what you owe me." Man, I wouldn't say that ever. Give me what you owe me, man. It'd be all over with. But the shouting. as we start this faith promise, think of those go, come, see, go, tell. That's what it's all about. And we can help somebody to do that. It may be a guy in Brazil. It may be what's called over there and wherever he's at. It might be somebody in Russia. It might be all over the world. Whatever it is, the only way they're going to get it done is by our help. And you say, well, I'm not able to do anything. Well, you can do something in this situation. You can help somebody else do it. And I'm going to tell you what. You'll have a star in your crown just as well as if you won that person yourself personally. Because what Paul say? Somebody plants. Somebody waters. But who gets the increase? God does, doesn't he? Tonight, just think of those four things as the ladies. And what I like in this story is the last verse, the next the verse that I'm about to read. Look what they did. Verse 8. They left the tomb slowly and strolled to report to the disciples. They ran. That's how important it was. They ran. We need to run to our neighbors, run to our friends, run to those that we work with. They ran because it was so important. It was absolutely imperative. And it's imperative today. It's just as imperative today as it was then for us to go and tell people about Christ. It's imperative for us tonight as we start this faith promise rally to understand we can send somebody to tell the other people in the world who don't have Christ. If we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. We need to be a committee of one and say, it's my responsibility. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to do what's right. Tonight, let's do that. Come, see, go tell. We're going to have an invitation. Maybe it's a time to obey the gospel. And I think everybody here is pretty well online. But you never know. Maybe it's a time to say, you know, I kind of ought to do a little bit more than I've been doing. I ought to, you know, I haven't been doing exactly what I should be doing. I haven't been as active as I should have been. And tonight may be the night that I just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be. I'm going to do more. I'm going to make a difference. One person can make a difference. One person can do it. And I know that for a fact. One person can make a difference for Christ. We're going to stand and sing our song invitation. I like Jesus loves me. That's because I can remember it. No, it's right. Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? Well, the Bible tells me so. And what we're doing to do is send somebody out to tell somebody about this Jesus and show him that the Bible tells him so. Because Jesus loves him.